In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we look around and we see other people, we often are tempted to think, why does God bless them in the ways that He's blessed them and not me? Why has my life been so difficult? Why are these burdens placed upon me? And we wonder, is God fair? We're told in Scripture that God is no respecter of persons. And so we know that God is not unfair in the sense that He doesn't recognize one person as having more value than another person. But how is it that God deals with us, and why does He deal with us the way that He does? The last time that we looked at Psalm 118, we were covering a section that talked about how a sinner overcomes sin. But in the ninth section, the section which in Hebrew every verse begins with the letter tet, or if you were to transliterate it, would be the letter T. This talks about how God works with us and what God does to shape us and to mold us into the kind of person that He wants us to become. In other words, how do we get from being a sinner to becoming a saint? It says, Thou hast dealt graciously with Thy servant, O Lord, according to Thy word. When we were in our sins, we were obligated to be God's servants, but we were in rebellion against Him. But we're told that God graciously forgives us our sins and our rebellion, and He gives us grace. He reaches out to us even while we're still sinners and when we're in rebellion, and He offers us His grace. And we're told that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So according to His word, God is gracious. He's promised us, and He does it. Goodness and discipline and knowledge teach thou me, for in thy commandments have I believed. When we begin the life of repentance, we need to learn how to walk in the path of God's commandments. We won't learn if we don't study, but we also won't learn if we're not taught. And so we pray that God will teach us. But we also have to diligently apply ourselves to what He teaches. We need to learn what it means to love God. What is the good that we should love? And what is the evil that we should hate? And we have to acquire discipline. And by acquiring knowledge, it's not just talking about gaining information, it's talking about building an intimate relationship with God. And the foundation of all of this, the foundation of the instruction that we receive, has to be our faith in God's promises. Now, up until now, this is speaking about how we seek to be instructed. But here, the following verses, it begins to talk about what God does to go about instructing us. Before I was humbled, I transgressed. Therefore, thy sayings have I kept. Now, sometimes when you read in a verse of Scripture, the meaning is not obvious, and that's one of the reasons why we're taught to meditate upon Scripture. And in this case, the sequence is actually reversed in a poetic way. It says, before I was humbled, I transgressed. So what does that mean? It means I transgressed and then I was humbled. So it's reversing the order. Because I transgressed, God humbled me. Therefore, thy sayings have I kept. In other words, after I'd sinned, I was humbled and I learned to keep God's sayings. And it's not that God punishes us because He hates us, because He's vindictive. It's actually just the opposite. We're told in Scripture, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And if we experience God's punishment, it's for sins that God is trying to shake us of. He's trying to teach us how to keep His commandments. Thou art good, O Lord, in thy goodness, teach me thy statutes. We know from Scripture, and we have to believe that God is good, and He deals with each of us in a way that is best for us. As I said, we often wonder why some people seem to be having it so easy. And of course, from a distance, we don't really know what struggles other people have. Sometimes people appear to have it so easy, but if we were to really get to know them, we would understand that they have their own struggles that are different from ours, but are nevertheless difficult for them to bear. But we see that some people have a life that seems to be very happy, and others have very difficult lives, and they suffer. We can't know God's mind, and so we can't fully understand why things happen to us the way that they do, but we have to believe that God is good and He's dealing with us in a way that is for our salvation. When we go to see a doctor, If we were to go to the doctor's office and we saw one person coming out with a leg amputated and another person was told to take 3 aspirins and to call him in the morning, we wouldn't say, well, this doctor is unfair because he's just arbitrarily decided to amputate this guy's leg and this other person he told to take 3 aspirins and to call him in the morning. No, it's because the person whose leg needed to be amputated would die if that leg wasn't amputated, whereas the person that needed to only take 3 aspirins and call him in the morning had an illness that only required that. And so it's not that God's arbitrary. He deals with each and every one of us according to the need that we have. Christ is the great physician, we're told, and he deals with each of us according to our need if only we will cooperate with him and apply the treatment that we need the most. He will heal us. One of the difficulties I think we have is, and this is also true sometimes of how we interact with our doctors, the doctors tell us to do stuff, and we don't listen to what they tell us to do. And so gradually they have to start upping the ante and telling us to do other things and give us stronger medicine because we're not doing what he's actually told us to do. And if we are finding things very difficult in our lives, we probably ought to ask ourselves, are things becoming more difficult because I'm not applying the medicine that God has already given me? I'm not responding to what God is already trying to do in my life. Multiplied against me hath been the unrighteousness of the proud, but as for me, with my whole heart will I search out thy commandments. God allows other people, in many cases evil people, to treat us badly, to offend us, to insult us, but he also, unfortunately, in the church, we're around people who are not really evil. They're just sinners like ourselves, and we're often offended by them as well. But God puts people in our lives because he's trying to teach us things. And when we encounter a difficult person, rather than necessarily trying to seek how we can get the furthest away from that person, maybe we should ask ourselves, what is it that God's trying to teach me? And try to learn that lesson as quickly as you can. You probably, if you studied history, know the story of Lewis and Clark. They were the two explorers that Thomas Jefferson sent to explore the Louisiana Purchase and also to see how far the Mississippi River and its main tributary to the west went. And so they went on this expedition. In comparison with our own time, you'd have to compare it with something like the moonshot, because these guys were sent on this long journey that took years. They had no ability to communicate back with home base, and it was a very treacherous and difficult journey, and the fact that they made it out alive with only one person having died, I think, of an appendicitis or something, is really an amazing story of American history. But somewhere in the middle of their journey to the west, right when they got to the Continental Divide, Lewis, Meriwether Lewis, celebrated his 31st birthday, and he wrote in his journey, he was a somewhat melancholy sort of guy, but his observation has some merit here. He was thinking about his life up to that point, and he considered the fact that he probably had lived about half of his life. And he wrote, "I viewed with regret the many hours I've spent in indolence, and now sorely feel the want of that information which those hours would have given me had they been judiciously expended." In other words, he's on this difficult journey where he and all the other men of his crew are having to use all their ingenuity, all their know-how, exert every effort just to survive and accomplish the mission that they had. And he's thinking about how much better off he would have been if up until that point he had spent more time learning things that he now doesn't know and he wishes that he did know. Well, it's when we're faced with trials that we cease to be indolent, when we suddenly start taking seriously what it is that we need to do in our life. And often God puts trials in our life because he's trying to push us to stop spending our hours in indolence and to start applying ourselves to things that will be a benefit to us, to study the scriptures, to study the writings of the saints, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in the services. And if we would just simply do those things, we'd be so much better suited to deal with the things that we have to encounter. And God allows us to encounter these trials because he's trying to push us to recognize our needs. Curdled like milk is their heart, but as for me and my law have I meditated. Again, this is a somewhat obscure verse, but what it's saying here is that the heart of the wicked begins soft. Every one of us is born without hardness of heart towards God. But the heart of the wicked hardens, and it becomes hard like milk turns into cheese. But we, on the other hand, if we will meditate on God's word, the fathers tell us that will soften our heart. If we've read the Bible 100 times, that's no excuse for us to stop, because the fact that we spend some time every day reading the scriptures that we've read hopefully so many times before has the effect of softening our heart rather than allowing our heart to become hard. It is good for me that thou hast humbled me, that I might learn thy statutes. He says here that it was good for him that he was humbled, but most of us, when we are being humbled, don't feel like it's a good thing at the time. Just like when you were children, when your parents disciplined you, you at the time didn't appreciate what your parents were doing. You didn't thank them for the spanking that you just got, or for the fact that privileges were taken away from you, or that you were punished in some way, or that you had to endure some kind of hardship. But when you become an adult and you reap the benefit of the discipline that your parents gave you, you look back and you thank them. You appreciate that because you realize how much worse off you would be had they not done that. Well, likewise, we can look back after God has humbled us and thank him for that humbling, even though it's difficult at the time. But we need to try to have some perspective when we endure it and know that we should give thanks to God for all things, because whatever it is we're dealing with, we might not understand at the time, but we have to know that it's for our benefit. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. This speaks of how the scriptures are inspired by God on the one hand, so that's an important thing to note. But what it's talking about here is the final state of the sinner who's been refined by God's fire and made into that person that he needs to be. A person who's reached that state comes to a point where they recognize that God's instruction, his teachings in the traditions of the church and the scriptures are of more value than anything on this earth. Because what is it that we value on this earth? More than gold and silver. Those are certainly up there at the highest echelons. But if we truly become the person God wants us to be, we'll recognize that these things pale in comparison to that. Now, if a poor man had been the author of that line, we might have said, well, this is an example of sour grapes, someone who couldn't get the grapes and is saying, well, those grapes must be sour. But as in fact, this was written by the prophet King David, who had an incredible amount of wealth. And so for him to say that I've come to value the sayings of God's mouth more than gold and silver was saying something, because that wasn't just something that he looked on from a distance. It was something that he'd actually acquired. The question is, do we value God and his word above all else? And if we haven't reached that point, it's because we have more work to do. We have a ways to go. We need to allow the great physician to apply the remedies that he has that are for our good, that are necessary specifically for us, and to cooperate with him so that through the trials, humiliations, and discipline that he gives us, and through the study and application of the scriptures and the teachings of the church, we may honestly reach the point where we can say, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Amen.